Good morning, everyone, and as Rav Harvey said, I'd like to welcome everyone to the shir. The old familiar faces, welcome back, and to the new people, welcome. We try every week to start off the week with Divrei Torah, with learning, and try very much to connect the words that we say to the parsha that was read the day before. So hopefully it could be a meaningful way of learning halacha and starting off the week with the Dvarim Shebekdusha. The topic of today's shiur is something which is, I think, very relevant to us here, in particularly in South Florida, and that is protecting oneself from rain on Shabbos and Yontif. The connection to the parsha, I don't think I have to make. But the fact of the matter is that we have, especially, you know, certain times of the year, there are heavy rains which come, you know, we just had on Sukkot, I think, a particularly rainy Sukkot, and the different, it happens very often. You get a quick rain, a major rainstorm that comes through. And a lot of times people on Shabbos are caught in situations, what am I supposed to do now? How do I protect myself? Can I cover myself? What can I use? What can I use? I'd like to try to go through some of the basic things that come up, and if anyone has anything that they would like to point out, feel free. But I'll take it as I think, you know, in the order that it comes. First and foremost, the issue, if a person is let's say it happens in shul, let's say Friday night or Shabbos morning, and you know you're about to leave, and lo and behold, you know it's pouring rain outside. So the first question that comes up is, a person cover himself with some sort of covering? Now, if you have a raincoat, so then it's a relatively easy thing, a raincoat with a hood. Okay, that would be the simplest thing. But often we get caught unprepared. And the question is, so what can I do now? Can I take a plastic bag and hold it over my head? Can I take some sort of other device and a receptacle, whatever, and hold it over my head to protect me from the rain? Can I use an umbrella to protect me from the rain? Well, one of my chaverim, one of the rebbeim here in the yeshiva, related to me yesterday that on Simchas Torah, I believe it was Simchas Torah, the last days of Yontif a week ago, that his son and daughter-in-law and child were walking in the street, and it was raining, and they were walking to wherever they were going, and it was a difficult situation, but they had nothing, there was nothing they could do. So a fellow passed by in a car, and he pulled up alongside them, and he stopped the car, and he popped open the trunk, and he pulled out an umbrella, and he opened it up, and he said, "Here, take this." And the people involved, you know, said, "Well, the first question was, how are we ever going to give it back to you? We don't know who you are. We've never seen you before." And the person said, it's fine, just take it. So, you know, despite the immediate feeling that a person might have that this must be Elio Anavi, you know, coming to bail me out. But the question is this permissible in halacha to accept such a thing? So we know that it's an accepted halacha that we don't use umbrellas on Shabbos. The question is, why not? And in some cases, you know, people think mistakenly that the whole reason, you know, growing up in New York, in many places in New York, there are no Erevin. There, you know, here, every community has an Erev. But, you know, as a kid growing up, a lot of the places in New York did not have Erevin, so sometimes the person would think that the only reason you can't use an umbrella is because in a place where there's no Erev, you can't carry. But what about in a place where there is an Erev? So why can't you use an umbrella? So basically, the issues that are involved here are as follows. There is in the 39 malachas of Shabbos we know, so one of them is the malacha of Boneh. The malacha of Boneh means to build a structure. That was obviously one of the basic issues involved in the Mishkan. Okay, the Mishkan, which was assembled and disassembled on an ongoing basis. So you had to attach the walls and put overhead the roof. So thus, this was considered one of the official activities pertaining to the Mishkan. And as such, this is one of the 39 malachas that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Now, in order for it to be boneh, in order for something to be considered built on Shabbos, so in the most immediate sense, that would refer to building a structure, where you're building a house or a shed or something like that, and you're building it with walls and a roof and so forth. Okay, that would be, to do such a thing on Shabbos, it's understood, that's boneh, that cannot be done. However, what about in a situation where you're not making necessarily walls? Let's say you're just making a shelter. You're just putting something overhead, but you're not going to put down walls. Or let's say you're putting down walls and you're not going to put up a shelter. So here, min haTorah, generally speaking, that should not be a problem. Okay, but the Rabbanon came along, and as we know that in many instances in the laws of Shabbos, the Rabbanon prohibited things because of the concern that there will be confusion and people, if certain things are allowed, people get mixed up and come to violate Torah laws. So therefore we find that the halacha is that the Rabbanon prohibited people to make on Shabbos, even if they're not making an entire structure, but to just make an overhead shelter, to make an ohel, to make a shelter from which a person is protected from the elements, it was prohibited by the Rabbanon, even in a situation where it does not have walls. In other words, if it had walls, so then already it's more that then one could understand that you have a that's a basic structure, a shelter with walls. But what about if you have a shelter without walls? So this the Rabbanon did not allow, and we find this here. If you look at the handout, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Siman Shin Tes Vav. The Shulchan Aruch says, also lasos ohel b'Shabbos v'yontif, that it is prohibited to make a ohel, which we will translate to mean like a canopy, to make some sort of overhead covering on Shabbos v'yontif, afilu hu aroi, even if it is simply a temporary type of ohel, even if it's a temporary type of shelter, the Rabbanan prohibited it, and the Shulchan Aruch says, v'dafka gag, that this is pertaining particularly to making an overhead roof, avo mechitzos mutter, but to just make partitions, then generally that would be that it would be mutter. Okay, to just simply make a partition, but to make an overhead shelter, the Rabbanan prohibited, even if it is a temporary type of structure, even if it's a temporary shelter. Okay, now why is that? So if you look here in the Mishnah Berurah down on the bottom, so he says the Mishnah Berurah elaborates on this, and he says Sifkat and Days Vidafka Gag, that's on the third line from the bottom section, Vidafka Gag Vaaf Kishain Mechitzos Tachtov, even if there are no partitions, Kigon Lifros Machzelos Al Dalat Kundesin Derech Aroy, even if a person, for example, had four posts, if there were four posts that existed before Shabbos, and you wanted to spread on top of those four posts some sort of canopy, some sort of sheet or curtain or something like that, that would be prohibited by the Rabbanan on Shabbos because of the fact that they prohibited making an ohel, they prohibited making an overhead covering because of the fact that it is a similar type of activity to making a structure. Because of the melacha d'oraisa of boneh, so the Rabbanan prohibited that one cannot even make an overhead canopy. Now, when you hear this, you say to yourself, well, one second, this is gonna, we just had Sukkos, you know, just a little over a week ago, and there are people that have coverings on their Sukkos that they put down, and they put it down even on Yom Tov and even on Shabbos, and here we're saying that you're not allowed to do this. So, we have to see the ins and outs of this law, right? Because if it simply means that you can't put a covering overhead, so then we know of situations where we do that. And if in fact this is going to be prohibited, so then if a person was stuck in shul and it started to rain, and let's say there was a garbage bag that was available, and the person says, well, I'll hold the garbage bag over my head and walk home from shul, so then it should be prohibited to do that because of the fact that, well, here you do it. This is exactly what you're doing. You're putting a protection over your head, and even though it has no walls, and even though it's only temporary, and you're going to throw it away as soon as you get home, but that should be prohibited. So, we have to know the ins and outs of this halacha. So basically, the way it comes is as follows. There are a few requirements in order for this to be prohibited, and if you lack these requirements, then it would be permissible. Okay, so first and foremost, in order for something to be considered an ohel, it has to be a tefach wide, and meaning a tefach is anywhere between 3 and 4 inches, it has to be a width of a tefach, and it would have to also hover over the ground for a tefach. Okay, in other words, it would have to be 3 inches off the ground, 3 to 4 inches off the ground, and 3 to 4 inches in width. So therefore, for example, if a person made a teepee, okay, like the old Indians where they made a teepee with a slanted roof, and that roof does not have the width of a tefach, so that would not be considered an ohel. That's not considered, that doesn't meet the requirement, because in order for there to be something that's considered an ohel, it has to be a minimum width of a tefach. Okay, that is one requirement. Now, that doesn't necessarily help us yet, but it could theoretically, because that being the case, if a person wanted to just put some sort of plastic covering over their head in such a way that it did not have that width, so then it would seem that it would be permissible for this basis. Okay, now, a second requirement is that in order for this to be prohibited, it has to be that you're doing it to protect that which is underneath it. If you're not doing it to protect that which is underneath it, but you're doing it for some other reason, then it's permissible. So for example, if you think into this, you would say, well, if you're not allowed to make an ohel, alright, and if you really want to take this to the fullest extent, and you want to, you know, play hardball, so to speak, so you could say that you shouldn't be allowed to open a folding chair on Shabbos. Why not? Because when you open up a folding chair, so what happens, right? You're opening it up, the seat is coming out, the seat is more than a tefach in width, and under the seat is an ohel, right? In other words, the seat of the chair is hovering over the ground for a height of greater than, let's say, 3 to 4 inches. Okay? So, shouldn't be allowed to do that. Or, for example, a person should not be allowed to open up a folding table on Shabbos. Yet we know that these are things that we do all the time. So the answer is that the reason why it's permissible is because the prohibition of making an ohel only applies when you need this, when you're doing it to protect the space that's under it. When you open a folding chair, you're opening it to sit on it. You don't care that underneath it the floor is going to be covered. So that is a second consideration that goes into whether or not this is permissible. So far we have two, okay? The first one is that, again, that it has to be the height and width of a tefach, and the second is that it has to be protecting the space that's underneath it. Now, just to take another example, okay, if a person wants to put a tablecloth on Shabbos, so you're putting a tablecloth on Shabbos, the tablecloth is covering the table. So you'll say, well, if you're not allowed to make an ohel, if you're not allowed to make a canopy on Shabbos to protect that which is underneath it, so a folding chair is not, the interest is not to protect that which is underneath it. But a tablecloth is, because you're putting the tablecloth on top of the table to cover the table. But the answer is that that's also permitted because of the fact that it does not have the distance of a tefach over what it is covering. In other words, the tablecloth is put flush over the table, and therefore that type of thing is not considered that's not what the Rabbanan prohibited when they said you can't make an ohel on Shabbos and Yontif. What they meant was that it has to be protecting something underneath, and it has to be a space of a tefach. Okay, so therefore those common examples would be permitted. Now, furthermore, putting a covering on top of a sukkah, okay, so you'll say, so what about that? So putting a covering on top of a sukkah, which is clearly done to protect the people sitting under the sukkah, but because of the fact that it goes flush, right, if, assuming you have, let's say, a plastic that went flush right on top of the sukkah, so there too you would have this type of heter, because of the fact that what is it? It's not hovering over the thing that it's covering. It's going right on top, flush on top of that which it is covering, and therefore in that situation you would also have potentially this leniency. Okay, so these are a couple of the factors that go into it. Now, a third consideration is that in order for it to be prohibited on Shabbos, it has to be that the ohel that you're making is new. But if the ohel that you're making is just an extension of an existing ohel, then it's also permitted. Okay, this is permitted because of the fact that, again, this is a canopy without walls, and therefore if you have already an existing ohel, so to extend it would be permissible. To extend it would be permissible. So therefore, an example of this would be, if a person is going with a baby stroller on Shabbos, and it begins to rain. So the hood of the stroller is not an issue for a reason that we will soon see. However, let's say the hood of the stroller is not enough because there's such a strong rain that the hood only covers the head of the child. What about the rest of the child? So you have the hood, covering that part, but you have an idea. Let me put a blanket or a sheet over the rest of it. So, but you'll say, but the rest of it is not covered by the hood, so I'm making an ohel. The answer is, but if I'm merely extending an existing ohel, that's okay. So therefore, if the hood was open, you could go ahead and put a sheet over the rest of it to cover the child because of the fact that you're not making a new ohel on Shabbos, but you're simply extending an ohel that already exists. Okay, so now, yeah, go ahead. Okay, so we're going to get to that right now. So now, with this in mind, we come to the great question of the umbrella. Okay, the umbrella that we know that nobody uses an umbrella on Shabbos. Nobody uses an umbrella on Shabbos. And the question is, why not? Why don't we use an umbrella on Shabbos? So the truth of the matter is that, again, obviously in a place where there's an Erev, in a place where there's no Erev, so simply carrying the umbrella would be an issue, but where we live, Baruch Hashem, we have an Erev, so why can a person not use an umbrella on Shabbos, and particularly, why can't a person use an umbrella on Shabbos if it was opened already before Shabbos? Okay, or in the case that I gave earlier, where somebody walked over and handed someone an umbrella and said, here, just take it. I can't bear to see you get wet, just take an umbrella. So the truth of the matter is that this has been greatly debated. This was greatly debated by the poskim in the 18th century and 19th century when umbrellas first came into use. It was called in Europe a parasol. So this was discussed. There were people initially that thought that it should be permitted. The opposition was led by one of the great achronim, Rabbi Yecheskel Landau, who is known as, by the book that he wrote, Noda B'Yehuda, that he came out very strongly and said that one cannot do it. Now, why that is has been questioned over the years. There were people that questioned it. It seems that initially when umbrellas were made, the umbrellas weren't like today that you push up the metal and it holds the item in place, but rather you had to tie the covering to the posts of the umbrella, and it's not exactly the way we have the umbrellas today, but nevertheless, even in the way that we have it today, there are the consensus of the poskim. The consensus of the poskim are that it does not fit the requirements of heter because of the fact that it is intended to protect the space underneath. It does have the width and height of a tefach, and to open it on Shabbos would be to make a new ohel. Now, if it was opened before Shabbos, so you'll say, well, the ohel was made. However, as you walk with the umbrella, you're making a new ohel over each space that you walk. So therefore, you're taking the canopy and you're moving it from place to place to place. So therefore, these are some of the considerations that went into it. It was highly debated, a very highly and intensely debated point. But the Mishnah Berurah tells us, this is what we have here on the second sheet, it's actually in the Bir Halacha one, if you want to take a look at it. If you look here on the left-hand column, we're in the section called Bir Halacha. So towards the bottom of the page in the bold print, it says the word Tefach. So he says, Vihine al Dvar Nesias Umbrella. He has the word umbrella here. Well, hey, okay, he says, Hu Hagagos Hanosin al Roshan Mipnei Achama. This is the type of thing that a person uses to cover one's head. So just skipping a little bit, he says, Rabu Achronim Bezeb Sifrayim. He says that much debate took place in the books of the Achronim, of the later authorities. There are many people who are machmir in this question, and he proceeds to bring those who are machmir, and he ends up saying that, even though there were those that permitted it, but the consensus, the established practice, the minhag in Klal Yisrael has been already for several hundred years not to use umbrellas on Shabbos. Okay, if you go through well, the time doesn't allow it, but if you go through well the issues, they're pretty much, they could be debated. They could be, the reasons that are given could be debated, especially because of a factor which I have not yet mentioned, but I'll mention it right now. And that is that there is a halacha that says that a ohel that is already built and just opens and closes, if it's just a question of opening and closing it, so that already is not a problem to do on Shabbos or Yontif because of the fact that if it's already built in, it's considered like a door. In other words, much in the same way that one is allowed to close a door on Shabbos and nobody will say, well, the door was open previously, so this room was open, so now you made a mechitza, now you built a wall because you closed the door, so you made a wall to the room. So the reason why that is not an issue is because of the fact that this was already there. The door was already built into the wall, just it happened to have been open. So when you're taking something which is already built in and just opening it and closing it, so then the Shulchan Aruch tells us, it happens not to be on the sheet, but the Shulchan Aruch tells us that such a situation is permissible. And for the record, for that reason, if a person has a sophisticated covering of their sukkah, in other words, for example, if a person has, some people have if you're handy in that way, so some people have a closing of the sukkah that they could crank it in such a way, it's built into the sukkah. In other words, they built on top of the sukkah two coverings, and they could lower it, but it's built in. It's not something that they're taking an independent thing and covering it over the sukkah, but it's actually built onto the sukkah. If it's built onto the sukkah, then you can open and close it on Yontif and on Shabbos with no problem, because it's considered a part of the sukkah. It's considered a part of the sukkah, and therefore it's like a door. So the same, except the door is on top and not on the side. But like you're closing the door of the sukkah, that's fine, because it's built into the structure. So there are those that argue that on that basis, an umbrella should be permitted because it's already there. It's all built in. In other words, in the olden times, in the original umbrellas where you were tying it together as you made the umbrella, so you were making the umbrella. So that would be more of a reason to say you couldn't do it. But the umbrellas that we have, which it's all there. You just have to open it. So in that situation, those who argue, why is it different than a door? So this is if one looks into the topic, you will see there's a great deal of debate, but nevertheless, the consensus of all the contemporary poskim for the last 150 years has been to be machmir, and this is the minhag Yisrael. This is the practice that we have, that we don't use umbrellas even in situations where there is an Erev, because, as I say, the Psaka know the Yehuda, and this is a very widely respected authority, and ever since then it just became the established practice. So that option, in the case of a rain, is not really there. But what about covering yourself with something else? What about covering yourself with a plastic bag? I've seen. I remember seeing, in fact, not long ago here in the neighborhood, a Friday night, it was raining very hard, and I saw a family that was eating out, and it was very impressive that the family was walking in a line, and they had a very large sheet that they were holding over their heads, and it covered the entire family like a chuppah. But the question is, but can you do that because you are making an ohel? So the answer to this is that this is also permitted because of the fact that we have a klal in halacha that an ohel biyad adam is mutter. And that means that an olal, a canopy, that only exists because it has no ability to exist on its own. It's not held in place on its own. But you're making the canopy because you're holding it over your head. If you would let go, it would just fall down to the ground. Even without the fact that it would fall down to the ground, but it wouldn't hold its form. It wouldn't hold its shape. So such a thing is also permitted. This is what's called Ohel Bi'aradam. This is based on a psak of the Chazon Ish and other people that said this concept, that based on a Gemara Masechah Shabbos, that an Ohel that is being held up by a person, that if he let go, it would not hold its form, that's not called an Ohel. See, by an umbrella is worse, because when you fasten the umbrella is holding itself up. That's the structure of the umbrella. But a plastic bag that you're holding over your head, if you let go, it wouldn't be anything. Okay, so therefore, on that basis, an ohel bi'ad adam is considered, in other words, the shape is only there, its ability to protect you is only there because you're holding it, so that would be permitted. That is not a problem of an ohel. Okay, so therefore, if a person is stuck in shul, and they have a garbage bag available, or something like that, or sheets, or something, a tablecloth, you could take that and hold it over your head, and several people can hold it over their heads, again, assuming, of course, that the Erev is functioning, right? If the Erev is up, so then you can walk with it in the street over your head, it is not a problem. It's not a problem, why? Because this is called Ohel Bi'ad Adam, and that type of an Ohel is permitted. Right? With this in mind, I'm sorry, go ahead. A broken umbrella is muksa.
Let's say you set it aside for Shabbos.
Yeah. You mean to take the pieces of the umbrella and hold it over your head? Yeah, I guess that would be. So assuming you
does it. No, the mechanism holds it up by itself.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
It could be that that would be allowed also. So in other words, generally speaking, a broken item is considered muksa because since it was designated for a certain purpose, so once it is broken, so then it's useless. But if you designate it specifically, it could be, but I don't know that that's such a practical thing, and I don't know such a good idea because of the fact that it gives off the wrong impression to people. So I would stay away from umbrellas. But holding a sheet or a plastic bag over your head is permitted. Okay? Now, it is for this reason that on Simchas Torah, when they call up, let's say, the Chasen Torah, the Chasen Bereshis, so they hold over the minhag is that they hold over the talis, there's different minhagim, you know, which one you do it for, if you do it for both, whatever, it depends how much the person paid for it, perhaps, but the fact of the matter is that you hold that, right, you honor the aliyah by holding a talis over the person's head, so you say, why are you allowed to do that? The reason why you're allowed to do that is because, as we all know, it happens sometimes that if someone gets tired and leaves go, it's coming down, right? So therefore, the idea is that it's only an ohel bi'ad adam. It's only an ohel because of the fact that you're holding it that way. It has no form of its own. And such a thing would be permitted. So you, and similarly, in other words, if you take some of these laws to heart, you'll say, what about the age-old practice by the Birchas Kohanim, right, that fathers take their young sons under the talus, right? Or even you could question, what about the idea of a person putting a talus over his head when he davens, right? What about that? So all of these things are permitted because of the fact that they have no independent form. It has no form on its own. It's only because you're holding it that way. So whether it's because your hand is holding it, or your head is keeping it that way, whatever the case may be, such an ohel is not an ohel. So therefore, even if a man has, let's say, several sons that come to him for the duchenin, right? He wants to cover it, and he's going to put his talus over all of them, so it could be quite an area that he's enclosing with his talus. So you'll say, well, look at that. So it's like a whole tent that he made there, right? Because he has 3-4 kids under the talus, right? And it's a spread out thing. That's all right. Because of the fact that it can't hold its own form, it is not considered an ohel. Yes.
But the raincoat with the black
Yeah.
I mean, that,
Okay, so the raincoats that are made, what they call the shame coats or whatever, right, the coats that have come about recently, so I think it's also probably, even though those are very wide because they're meant to cover strimals, that's so the Hasidim were the ones that originated those coats, right, so therefore it was meant, that's why it's such a wide thing, because it's meant to cover a strimal, right, but I guess it's the same type of thing. It's the same type of thing because of the fact that it doesn't hold its own. In other words, if you take your head out of it, it's going to fall right down. So therefore, that type of setup is not considered is not considered an ohel that would be a problem. And for that reason, it is mutter to wear such a thing on Shabbos. Now, yeah, go ahead.
So what do you want me to do? Do I do the rain?
Okay, there you go. So what should you do? So what should you do? So we have a potential. Well, one thing you can do is you can wait till it stops raining, but that's not what you need the shear. You didn't need the shear for that, right? But the point is that's the simple solution. The not so simple solution. But the other thing what I'm saying is you can take a sheet and hold it over your head. Now, but what about taking a tray and holding it over your head? No, well, let's say taking a table and holding it over your head. So that you couldn't. Because of the fact that holds its own form. That holds its own form. If it holds its own form, then there's an issue. So if you had a very large tray, okay, that was being used, whatever the shul sometimes has for a kiddush, you know, they're going to put all the bowls of chomp on a tray, and you're going to take that tray and walk out of shul with that tray over your head, that you can't. Because the tray has its own ability to hold its form, but a plastic bag has no ability to do that. Yeah, go ahead.
Right on your head. There's no
separate. Right, no, but I don't think that helps because of the fact that it's still hovering over the ground and so forth. I'm not sure about it. I was wondering about that. I don't know that would help. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
If it has its own form, it'd still be out on the floor.
If it's, what do you mean? If it's, yeah, but I think the gather, I think the way the Chaznish says it over is that the gather of Bi'ad Adam is that it holds its own. It holds its own. Yeah, I'm sorry.
What about a hat?
Okay, so what about a hat? So what about a hat? So a hat is also discussed. A hat, now, nowadays the style has been the hats that men wear, you know, has the wider brims for a long, I think now it's becoming narrower again, but the style, you know, for a long time was that very wide brimmed hat. So what about women's hats? What about women's hats? So here, this is discussed, believe it or not, this is discussed in the poskim, that with a man's hat, generally, you're not gonna have a tefach unless you have a very wide brim. You could potentially have that. But women sometimes wear hats with very, very wide brims. So what is the status of that? So the Mishnah Berurah says that such a thing is permitted because of the fact that the hat is not made for protect, generally speaking, the reason why they made the hat that way is for style. It's a stylish hat. Right, the fact of the matter is that women don't just wear those hats to protect themselves from the sun, right, but it's stylish. So you go to a hat store, you pay a lot of money for those hats, right, so it's made a certain way, so the intent of the person who made the hat was not for protection at all, so as such, that type of hat is considered permissible. However, if you had a sun hat, if you had a hat that a person would, let's say, wear to the beach, where it's not made in any particular style, okay, but it's just there because I don't want to get sunburnt, whatever it is. So that type of thing, if it was very wide, you would have to think about that. You would have to. I don't know so well how common those hats are, but generally speaking, hats that are made for women, you know, are made stylishly. And as such, the intention is not really for protection. It may do that also, but the women are not wearing it for that reason, right? So therefore, that type of thing would be permitted, and so too by a man, that would also be permitted. Now,
about a rain hat.
A rain hat. So a rain hat is being made for that purpose, but a rain hat is something else because that's derech malbush, which I'll get to soon. That type of thing, which is being made as a garment. So if it's being made that's a garment. In other words, I'm wearing it to cover myself. In other words, a raincoat. Those types of things. There's no even a raincoat. Obviously, is not a problem of ohel, but I'm saying even a rain hat, even though it's made to protect you from the rain, but if it's being worn as a typical normal garment is made, then that doesn't seem to be, but also they don't have the width. They don't have, I don't think, the width that would create a problem.
How wide would the brim have to be?
3 to 4 inches wide.
So the width
the brim.
Of your
of your hat. You have to measure it. I don't think the men's hats, I don't think, have ever really gone that far, and even the women's hats. But again, if it's made for style, it's not a problem.
Yeah,
cowboy. What,
I'm
sorry? Cowboy. A cowboy hat. So again, a cowboy hat, I think, is also made for style, right? People wear cowboy. Aren't that many cowboys anymore, and people still wear those hats, right? So I guess
you see them here,
right? The people here wear them. So certainly no, I don't see anyone riding around on a horse in this neighborhood, you know. So nevertheless, what's that? Not on Shabbos for sure, right? Right. Okay. Now a stroller,
a tablecloth to cover food is a problem.
So that could be. In other words, if you're putting over a tablecloth, if it was meant to cover the food that we, let's say you set up outside, if you set up a picnic or a Shabbos meal outside and there are flies or whatever and the people aren't coming home from shul yet, or you're afraid it's going to blow away, and you cover it over with a tablecloth, so if there was the height of a tefach, that potentially could be an issue. Generally speaking, I don't think you would have that because it would be lower, but that might be something that a person has to take into consideration. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm not sure.
I think in general the rain hats, the heter is because they're not that wide. I think that's the basic heter. That's I think, as far as I know. If you had a very wide standalone rain hat, it could be that would be an issue too. I don't think the typical rain hats that they have are that way. Right, so that's what I'm saying. If it's also meant as a hat to protect, you know, it's hard to know. In other words, if it's, you know, if it was made exclusively for that, I'm not. I'll be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure.
Umbrella hats.
Yeah, so that probably would be an issue. That would be an issue to wear an umbrella hat because of the fact that that's not made for style, I would assume. Right? So, you don't see anyone standing Shemoneh Esrei wearing such a hat. I don't know. But if it, you know, nowadays you don't know. If it became the style, then it would be alright also. Okay, now as far as a baby carriage or a stroller is concerned, so here the as we mentioned, if the hood is built onto the stroller or the carriage, there's no question that you could open and close it on Shabbos, even if it was not left open before Shabbos, because of the fact that it's part of the stroller, so it's like opening and closing a door. Okay, to spread a sheet over it to go beyond that, so that would be a question. Now, if there was absolutely no hood over the stroller at all, or let's say I had a playpen, or people want to take the child outside, so they put a playpen or a crib outside and they want to cover it, that would be an issue. That would be an issue because there you're making an ohel and you're doing it to protect that which is underneath it that you couldn't do. Right? However, in most baby strollers or carriages, because there's already the hood, and the hood you're allowed to open, so if you open the hood, then you could even put a sheet over the rest of it because of the fact that, as we said earlier, that would be mosif al ha'ohel. That would be an example where you're adding on to an ohel. Alright? In other words, therefore that you could do. But if a person takes in a situation where it's raining, get caught in the rain, and you have a baby stroller, or a carriage, you could open up the hood, okay, and you could, once the hood is open, you could even put something covering over the rest of it. But if it had no, if it did not have such a device, if it didn't have a hood, then that would be an issue that you could not do.
This is not similar to what we said about the shlach where you bring it because the stroller opens and closes. It's not a permanent structure.
Right.
So you're opening and closing it. So the mice, it should be okay.
Right.
But if she don't, even if it doesn't have the initial.
Well, if it doesn't have the initial, the sheet that you're putting onto it isn't part of the initial structure. In other words, the point is that the hood that's on it is part of the structure, but what you're adding to that is not part of the structure. That's what I think is an issue. Yeah, go ahead.
If the hood's not on the stroller yet.
To attach the hood onto the stroller is a question which I think it depends on how well it holds. In other words, generally speaking, on Shabbos, in terms of attaching, let's say a person wants to add, is already a little bit of a different area, in terms of, let's say a person wants to add a leaf to a table. You have company coming, you want to put an extra leaf in the dining room table. So the question is, you know, there's not necessarily a question of ohel, as we said, because you don't care what's underneath, but there's a different issue, and that is that you're making the table bigger. You're making the table longer. So is that a problem of ohel, so that a problem of boneh. So there, I believe the accepted thing is that if it's something which comes easily in and out, then it's not going to, has no permanence. In other words, generally speaking, a leaf of a table, you can just insert it in, take it out. It doesn't, it's not hard to do that. You know, you just have to pull the table apart, but the actual addition of the leaf is not a big deal. So therefore, that is done on Shabbos because it's easy in and out. So it could be that something like that. It could be. I don't know. It could be that that would be the possibility of heter. I'm not 100% sure that a person would have to check out. All right. Yeah, guide himself. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. Okay. So that's one issue. Yeah. Yeah.
I know with regard to strollers, a lot of them have plastics that extend beyond. I remember reading somewhere, maybe the Shemir Shabbos about plastic.
Yeah.
It says that as long as it's attached to the stroller before Shabbos, then you can extend that beyond, you know, to cover the child.
Yeah. Well, if it's built on, there's no question. If it's built into the stroller, then you could do it without any question because that's considered part of the stroller. It's like a door of the stroller. Okay, now the next question, I'm sorry, I'm move on a little bit here because we're running short on time. Okay, so that is as far as covering yourself. So if you're stuck, you want to get home from shul, you can't wait, so you could go ahead and take a plastic, hold it over your head, you could do that, you could drape it over your head, you could hold it over your head, as long as it doesn't hold its own form, that would be okay. Alright, if you had anything like that that was accessible, you could do it, again, provided that you're in a place where there is an Erev. Okay, now, the next question that comes up is that what happens once you get home? So, once you get home, you say, well, what's the problem? Now I'm in my house. But the question is, so where do I hang? What do I do with my wet clothes? What do I do with my wet clothes? Now, generally speaking, wet clothes on Shabbos are an issue because of the fact that we have one of the malachas of Shabbos is squeezing, is schita, and therefore to wring out a wet item is considered prohibited on Shabbos. And for that reason, the Rabbanan prohibited wet clothing on Shabbos in general. So for example, if a person washed their clothes before Shabbos and didn't dry them, those wet clothes are muktzah. They're muktzah, you're not allowed to move them. Why not? Out of the concern that you may come to wring them out, which is a very reasonable concern. So now the question presents itself, so what do you do with wet clothes? First of all, you're allowed to wear them. You're allowed to continue wearing them. You know, you'll have somebody who'll say, oh my gosh, my socks are soaking wet because I stepped in a puddle, which happens here. You know, you have, for some reason, no one ever decided to put drains in this neighborhood, so therefore you have these huge puddles that accumulate, and you step in the puddle, you didn't see it, and now your socks are totally drenched. So every step that you take, you're squeezing water out of your socks. So is that an issue? Do you have to immediately take your socks off? And what happens if it's true about the rest of his clothing? What are we going to say about that? So the answer is that when it comes to these things in general, being that these are rabbinic prohibitions, being that you're not dealing with the real malacha min haTorah because of the fact that your intention in squeezing is not to squeeze it out for that purpose. You're not interested in the item that you're squeezing out. So therefore, it's not a malacha d'oraisa. At worst, it would be a malacha d'rabbanan. And mipnei kavod abrios, the rabbanan did not require a person who's wearing wet clothes to remove them. Okay, so therefore, if your clothes get soaking wet, and you say, I was walking in the street, and like happens here, all of a sudden the sky opened up, it got drenched, so you say, yeah, my shirt is soaked, so every time I move my arm, I could feel water coming out of the shirt, that's not a problem. That's okay, you don't have to do anything about that, you can continue walking in the street, and you can continue walking with the socks and so forth. Now, once you get home, however, there are several challenges. The challenges are, first and foremost, what do you do with it? What do you do with it now? So you'll say, well, it's very simple. Take it and hang it up, right? So I have my wet clothes, so obviously I'm not going to continue in my house wearing the wet clothes. I'm going to change. And what am I going to do with the wet clothes? I don't want the other surfaces in my house to get wet. So I'm going to take them, put them on a hanger, and hang them up to dry. So this, unbeknownst to many, is also a question in halacha whether that is permissible. And if you turn to the third page here, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Simon Shin Aleph Sif Mem Hei, the Shulchan Aruch says two halachas. First of all, he says Mishanashru Ken, second line from the top. Mishanashru Kalev Bamayim, a person whose clothing became wet in the rain. And by the way, it doesn't have to be just from rain. Let's say a person tripped and fell into a puddle or something like that. Or a person fell into a swimming pool, who knows what, right? Any such situation, right, where the person's clothes got wet. So the halacha is, first of all, Holech Bahem Ve'enu Choshesh Shemi Ovelu Deschita. First of all, you're allowed to continue walking. You don't have to worry that you're going to squeeze, because even if you do, it's all right. Okay, I mean, obviously you can't wring it out intentionally, but whatever is going to happen from your walking is not an issue. Okay, but now the Shulchan Aruch says a halacha which is quite remarkable. The Shulchan Aruch says, "V'lo yishtechem lenagvam." However, you cannot hang them out to dry. Why not? Mipnei maris ha'ayin. You cannot hang it out to dry because of maris ayin, because it doesn't look good. Why doesn't it look good? Shelo yachshedu shekavsan b'shabbos. Because a person who sees you hanging up your clothes to dry may suspect that you wash the clothes on Shabbos. Right? In the old days, we had clotheslines for electric dryers. Right? So how did it work? A person would wash their clothes and you hang it out on the line to dry. So a person who comes home on Shabbos with wet clothes, I don't want this in my house, it's going to drip all over the house. Who needs that? So there's an Erev, no problem, I'll take it out and hang it on the clothesline. So you're not, it's raining. All right, one second, we'll get to that. Right, good question. So you cannot do that on Shabbos because of the concern that somebody may say, hey, there's obviously no problem with washing clothes on Shabbos because here this guy is hanging out. Look at this, he has fresh, wet clothes and he's hanging it out to dry. So good, we have a good question which we'll get to in a minute. You'll say, but it's raining. Okay, but this is a concern. Now you'll say, all right, but this halacha doesn't concern us anyway because most of us, or probably none of us, have clotheslines in our backyard because with electric dryers you don't have that. However, the Shulchan Aruch continues and says, Va'afilu b'chadrei chadorim she'ein sham roim oser. That even in a situation of maris ayin, this is important to know, when there's a maris ayin situation, something doesn't look good. Okay, so if what you're concerned about, that it doesn't look good, is a malacha d'oraisa, if it is a Torah prohibited law, then it is prohibited to do even when nobody will see it. Now you'll say, what, that's crazy, that maris ayin means that somebody's going to see it. But if nobody's going to see it, so what's the problem? The answer is you can't do it. That's just the way it is. When the Rabbanan made this gezeira of maris ayin, they made it without exception. So therefore, if you can't hang it up, you can't hang it up. And thus, it would come out that not only couldn't you hang it up on a clothesline outside the house, but you couldn't even hang it up inside of your house. On, let's say you have a laundry room and you have a bar where you put not everything, you know, we all know that not all clothes get put in the dryer, right? Some clothes will shrink if you see, so you wash them, but if you put them in the dryer, they're going to shrink. So you have some sort of device there that you spread out wet clothes to drip dry, right? So you want to put you say, well, that's a perfect place for my raincoat, right? But on the other hand, that's a problem of maris ayin. So you'll say, what maris ayin? But nobody sees it. It's in my private house. But maris ayin for a malacha d'oraisa, which washing clothes would be a malacha d'oraisa, right? So that is prohibited, even b'chadrei chadorim, the Shulchan Aruch says. Okay? So now, where would this leave us? So in other words, let's take it, worst case scenario. In other words, assuming the halacha stands as is. So worst case scenario would be that you could not hang it up in a place where wet items are typically hung. So therefore, you couldn't hang it on a clothesline, you couldn't hang it in the laundry room, and you couldn't hang it over the bathtub. Right? Everyone said, well, that's a great place to put it. It'll drip right into the tub. But that would be a place that also you would put wet clothes to dry. So all of those options have been removed. So if all of those options have been removed, where then can you put it? So you're left, it would seem, in the very uncomfortable scenario that you would have to hang it up in your closet. You say, oh, my closet is dripping all over. What kind of thing is that? But this is what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So now the question is, so what, where is there room for flexibility in this halacha? Okay, so the first point that's being raised is, but doesn't everybody understand that it's raining? Right? Everybody, it's raining! So they understand that it's raining. Okay, so, but the reason why, generally speaking, that's not held to be a heter is because of the fact that it's not raining forever. It's going to stop raining eventually. And if a person comes out of their house, your next door neighbor who's a little bit nosy and said, hey, one second, when Shabbos started, he didn't have those clothes on the line. In other words, here it happens that you could have a tremendous rainstorm and then 45 minutes later, it's a beautiful day, right? The sun comes out and it's beautiful, right? So now your neighbor comes out, you know, he achar amabel, like we had in yesterday's parasha, right? In other words, he walked out of the house after the amabel, and now it's a beautiful day. He wants to sit in his chair in the backyard, enjoy Shabbos, and he says, one second, this guy on the clothesline yesterday had nothing, and now there's clothes hanging on the clothesline. So you'll say, yeah, it rained, but on the other hand, it's not convincing necessarily. He may think that, yeah, it rained, but, you know, not everyone's Donald Kafskos. He may say that you put it there that because you washed it. In other words, you know, he doesn't know necessarily why it's there. So that alone would not be, for that reason, believe it or not, would not be a heter. However, the heterim for this are as follows. In other words, here's where there's room to maneuver. The room to maneuver, basically two things. First and foremost, is this the type of thing that gets washed? So, for example, no one ever puts their raincoat in the washing machine. Right? Nobody ever launders their raincoat. It just doesn't happen, especially if you have a poncho or something like that that you wear. So that never gets washed. So if it never gets washed, there's no Isser of Marasayan because nobody will think that you washed it. In other words, well, you don't wash this. Right? This is the type of thing that is worn and it gets rained on and that's it. So that type of item, if it is clear that it is that type of item, you're allowed to go ahead and hang it up. A raincoat, you could hang up on the clothesline, you could hang it in the laundry room, you can hang it over the shower, that's no problem because that item in and of itself is no marasayan. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not talking about schita now, I'm talking about kibbutz. In other words, the marasayan is that you washed it. The marasayan is that you put it in the washing machine. That's the marasayan. Now, there's a person going to see this hanging, and say, oh, the guy just washed his coat. So the answer is, you don't wash coats. Okay, so you don't wash coats, that's outright mutter. Now, if you think about it, though, you'll say, alright, but let's go past the coat. The rest of my clothes got drenched also. So, what are we going to do about that? So here, if you think into this a little bit, and when your clothes are wet, you think very well, right? Because you don't want to ruin your items in your house. So you will say, what about the fact that this item is dry clean only? If this is a dry clean only item, nobody puts their suit in the washing machine. Okay? So therefore, nobody puts their tie in the washing machine. Okay? So is that enough? Can we say that there's no marasayan because people understand that this, you would never have wanted this. You don't wander this. You bring this to the cleaners. Right? And so too, women's clothing, commonly, especially, not all, but the fancier clothing that the women generally wear on Shabbos and Yontif, also is by and large dry clean only. Right? Now again, not everything, but largely would be dry clean only. So the question is that enough of a basis leheter or not? So here there is a debate amongst the contemporary poskim, but in the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kolchosa, it's brought in the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that he felt that this was enough to rely upon, that this was good enough that you could rely on the fact that nobody's going to suspect you because the person will say that you don't wash it. So if you see a suit jacket hanging on the laundry line, you'll say it must be because it got wet in the rain. It can't be for any other reason because nobody would put this in the washing machine. Okay, so even though again there were those who were stricter on this point, but the minhag ha'olam is, I'm sure, is to be lenient in this question, and therefore if your jacket or pants, for that matter, same thing, right, got wet, if it's the type of thing that's a dry clean only garment, so then you could hang it up in a place where no harm will come from letting it drip. You could hang it up over the shower or etc. Okay. However, what would be an issue would be, let's say, a man's shirt, okay, which typically is washed, generally speaking, you know, is washed. So that would be more of a question. So in that area, for this there is no great heter. For this there is no great heter, and therefore that type of thing really should be not hung in such a place. In other words, your sutya, your suit you could put there, your coat you could put there, your tie you could put there, you know, but your shoes you could put, you know, assuming they were dripping, put there also, nobody puts those in the washing machine, right? But a shirt, which might be, so that type of thing, a person really should not hang up to drip dry on Shabbos based on this halacha, despite the fact that everyone knows it was raining, but this is the halacha that Rabbanan made, Mishum Marasayin,
you know what I'm saying? Once you have your suit, your tie, and your shoes out there.
Doesn't everyone figure it out? Yeah, I don't know. That's the, that's the way it is. In other words, the heter is not because they're going to figure out that it was raining. The heter is because they just won't assume that you washed it. In other words, even if a guy slept through the rain, but if he sees your, you know, it happens sometimes, it rains overnight, you wake up in the morning, you don't even know about it. Beautiful, you only know because you see puddles, right? But a monsoon rain came overnight, but if you see it hanging outside, right, it could be you washed it, you don't know. So that's why there's a problem with Marasayin. Yeah, I'm sorry.
You mentioned before that if by Kavaprius you're walking outside, you step in a puddle.
Yeah.
But that's all if you did it perhaps video. In other words, you're walking outside, it's already raining. What if Kachila, you want to leave shore, you have no cover, no rain,
right.
You want to run home, so you put yourself
So that's a good question. So it happens to be, the question is, can you put yourself in that situation? So it happens to be, there is a halacha that on Shabbos, this could be relevant, that on Shabbos a person should not walk very close to a place where he could get wet. For example, if a person has a swimming pool, so you should not walk on Shabbos on the edge of the swimming pool because of the concern that you could fall in and have these problems. And you could, maybe you could fall and have other problems too. Right. But you fall in, and in other words, to put yourself in that situation, I haven't seen anyone say outright that you can't walk outside if you know the sky is about to open up. I don't know. I've never seen that. It's an interesting point, but that I've never seen. But there is such a halacha. For example, if you have a river and there's a log, you know, there's the kids a lot of times like to do these daring things, you know, so you're going to walk on the log across the river. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch. You're not supposed to do that on Shabbos because of the fact that you may fall and get wet and then you'll have all kinds of issues. Your clothes will be wet and you'll come to squeeze them out. So you're not supposed to do that. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was going to... Yeah,
what about
taking
them over the shower in a way that you
So draping it over the shower in a way that you wouldn't hang laundry, I think is also not considered acceptable because sometimes a person, it's hard to know what a person would do and what a person wouldn't do. So, you know, sometimes people do drape clothes. Oh, you know, they run out of hangers, so they do drape clothes over. I know my own house, right? Sometimes you have so much laundry that's drip dry that you can't hang it up. So whatever. I don't know that would be a heter. Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry. Okay, so that's a similar type of question. I don't know. That we have to see. I don't know. Generally speaking, the halacha, that's a good question. Generally speaking, the halacha is that in a place where wet laundry is commonly put, you're not supposed to put wet clothes on Shabbos. So I don't know, you'll say, but it's never put this way. That's similar to, okay, I don't know.
Where do you put the wet shirt then?
So where do you put the wet shirt? So you have to put the wet shirt somewhere. You put it on either hang it up in a closet and hope for the best, or crumple it up and put it on the floor of the bathroom or something like that, but not in a way, it could be it's mutter. Now that what Shafran is saying may be accurate. It could be that if you put it on the floor of the tub, nobody does that, so that would be alright. Okay, it could be. I don't know. I just because the time is already running short, so maybe just hold the questions for after. Now, what one cannot do though, which is common that people do this, not so much here, but in New York where it's colder, is that a person is going to take off their wet clothes and put it near the radiator. Okay, I want my clothes to dry. I'm still hoping that I'm going to wear this on Shabbos. You know, it's my nice shirt. So it got wet, but it's not hopelessly wet. You know, I wasn't caught in a major storm. You know, so I'll put it, you know, price will warm up. So that, the Shulchan Aruch says clearly that a person cannot do. Okay, that's actually on this page, that it says that, you're not allowed to put it, I think it was on this page, you're not allowed to put it in a place. On the third sheet it says begadim hashruim b'mayim osur l'nagvam samuch la'esh. Okay, you're not allowed to put them for fire, obviously, because it's going to be heated up and cooked. Now, I just want to add one other issue which comes up with the wet clothes, and this is something that's very relevant, and you have to keep this in mind. We said previously that wet clothes, the Rabbanan did not obligate you to take off. However, if you have clothes that were wet, that you weren't wearing, those clothes are muksa. Right? So for example, we know that if clothes did not dry before Shabbos, you're not allowed to wear them on Shabbos, because we have a principle in the laws of muksa that if something is muksa at the beginning of Shabbos, it remains muksa for the entire Shabbos. Okay, so therefore, if you have, let's say, an item which you didn't have a chance to get into the dryer before Shabbos, so you say, all right, well, it's not yet Shabbos, it's 10 minutes before Shabbos, I'm going to put it up to drip dry, that I'm allowed, because it's not Shabbos yet. So I'm going to hang it up to drip dry, but it's going to be soaking wet, but overnight it'll dry out, and the next morning it's okay, you're not allowed to wear that on Shabbos, because of the fact that wet clothing, the Rabbanan made muksa, and one of the rules, and the reason why they made a muksa is so you may come to squeeze it, and one of the rules one of the rules in muksa is that if something is muksa at the outset of Shabbos, it remains muksa for the entire Shabbos. Okay, so therefore, wet clothes like that, or a wet towel for that matter, in such a way, is out. Okay, but what about if it got wet on Shabbos? So if it got wet on Shabbos, again, the law of muksa would come into play, because the concern that you may squeeze it. But we said that, but what are you supposed to do? You're wearing the clothes. So no one's going to tell you, it would be absurd to say you have to walk around wet clothes for the rest of the day. So you're allowed to take off the clothes. However, when you take off the clothes, you have one move. In other words, you don't put it down and then say, all right, in 10 minutes I'll figure out what to do with it. Because once you took it off and put it down, now it's muksa. So therefore, if you took off your wet jacket, and meanwhile you said, I just gotta get undressed, I'm gonna put this on the chair and I'll figure it out, once I change my clothes, I'll figure it all out, that's no good. Because too late. In other words, you could take it off. If you're gonna hang up your jacket, you have one move. So as soon as you come in to your house, take off your jacket, if you have a suit jacket, which is, we said that, you could rely, that you could hang it up because no one will presume that you washed it, right? So you take a hanger and hang it up exactly where you want it hung. Piece by piece, that's what you have to do. Because if you do it, if you just say, let me get out of this mess and then I'll figure the whole thing out, you can't figure it out at that point, because now it has a status of muksa. You'll say, but oh my gosh, I put it down on my bed and now my bed is going to get soaked. There's nothing you could do. That would be the same thing if you had any other wet muksa item on your bed. That you can't move. So you would have an issue. So to avoid this issue, this is something a person has to really take into consideration. To avoid this issue, if a person gets drenched in the rain, so the thing to do is to come home and immediately, you just have to have a little presence of mind, right? A little presence of mind. Okay, I'm going to hang this up. I'm taking it. I'm going to hang it here, etc. Okay, that's as far as that. The last thing I just wanted to mention very quickly, in a place where there is no Erev, obviously it's a lot more challenging because of the fact that you can't carry. So therefore, to hold the bag over your house would be a problem, etc. Okay, another issue, but again, only in a place where there is no Erev, would be for a person to cover himself. Let's say you say, well, okay, I can't hold the plastic over my head, but I'll wear it. In other words, let's say a poncho. So a poncho you could wear. Okay, why? Because a poncho is a garment. Now, what makes something a garment is anything that you could wear. The halachic definition of a garment is something that you're wearing to protect yourself. Okay, so if you had a garbage bag that before Shabbos you had made holes in, right, and you're going to use it now as your own homemade poncho, so that's also okay, even if there's no air, because that is something that is protecting you. But to put on something to protect an item of your clothing and not to protect you is questionable, right? In fact, it's more than questionable. That would not be allowed. So, for example, a raincoat is never an issue, because a raincoat is protecting you. But what happens is a lot of times people have nice Shabbos hats, and they don't want the hat to get wet. So they don't have a rain hat, so they take an idea. Okay, I'll take it, but I still would like to wear a hat to shul on Shabbos. I daven with a hat. So I'm going to take a plastic bag and put the hat in the plastic bag and wear it. Okay, so now in this situation, you take, let's say, a public shopping bag. So bags are very thin. So you can't really claim that those bags are protecting you, because how's it protecting you? The only thing it's doing is protecting your hat. So to protect your hat in a place where there is no air, if you can't do, that's called carrying. Even though you're not carrying it in your hands. That's what's called atzulei tinuf. It's on the fourth sheet, but we don't have time. Atzulei tinuf, something which is made in order to protect you from getting dirty. So if you're protecting yourself, then it's no problem. So a coat, which any type of coat, even a poncho, it helps a person, keeps a person warm. Any form of insulation keeps a person warm, and it's keeping, keeping him dry. So then that's never a problem. However, if it's just protecting your hat, so what is it doing for you? You say, well, it's protecting me from getting wet. But your hat would also protect you from getting wet. You're not doing it for that. You're doing it because you want to cover your hat. So that type of thing, in a place where there's no Erev, or if the Erev is down, that you cannot do. You see people doing this, that people have, they take the hat and they put it in a plastic bag. That's fine, as long as the Erev is up. If the Erev is up, there's no problem. But if the Erev is down, that you can't do. So Rabbosa, these are some of the issues that come up in the rain, and as I say, it's common that it happens here, so hopefully now we have a little better insight into how to protect ourselves.